The Gino School Board will appoint a new member tonight to replace Kim Poole, who recently resigned. The board had 30 days to replace Poole, who submitted her resignation on November 13th and moved to Oklahoma to work in a family business. Six people have applied for the seat, including two school board candidates in the fall municipal election. Michelle Johnston and Will Muldoon were among five who ran for the board in October. On election day, Johnston received 12% of the vote and Muldoon 16%. Current board members interviewed the six yesterday. In addition to Johnston and Muldoon, Myrna Gardner, Janice Hotch, Jennifer LaRoe, and Lisa Wuerl hope to be the nominee. School district spokeswoman Kristen Bartlett says the board will vote a secret ballot at the board meeting.
There will not be an executive session. It will be done in public. They'll have a ballot, and it may take more than one vote because there are so many candidates, but it will all be done at the board meeting in public.
All the board candidates but Muldoon either have or have had children in the Juneau schools. A Douglas bar owner will have to pay $750 a month for as much as the next 7 years to pay off the sales tax that he pocketed instead of remitting it to the city. 55-year-old Patrick M. Peterson will start paying it off after he spends 80 days in jail starting on January 7th. He could be assigned to a halfway house later, or he could be out in late February after a credit for good time. As we reported yesterday, Peterson was sentenced on Friday to four charges of failing to file sales tax returns and four charges of failing to remit sales taxes. The owner of PP's Douglas Inn entered guilty pleas to the charges in October. Eight other identical charges covering later violations were dismissed as part of an agreement with prosecutors, but he must still come up with the taxes. Peterson must pay back more than $54,700 while he's on seven-year probation. That includes penalties and late fees. He must also keep up to date on remitting the latest sales taxes. A $1,000 fine for each of the charges was suspended, but he'll have to reimburse the state $1,000 for incarceration. City Prosecutor August Petropoulos said that the business owner does not own the money, but is merely collecting it from the customer before remitting it to the municipality. What Peterson did, says Petropoulos, is theft. Peterson said he used the money to hire an attorney for a daughter who was facing an assault charge in Washington State. He also said he traveled several times to see an ailing father down south. But District Court Judge Keith Levy did not seem very sympathetic, saying, "I see parents in court every day who don't steal to hire lawyers for their children." Judge Levy reiterated the prosecutor's argument, saying what Peterson did was theft. He also didn't think that the sentence was potentially harsh, especially after he was told of previous violations by Peterson. Peterson's attorney, John Liquid, initially asked that he serve his time in two blocks so that he could attend to his business, and preferably after the holidays, which are one of the busiest times of the year. Eight people are reportedly employed at PP's Douglas Inn. Peterson said in court that he expects to catch up with his taxes after an $80,000 inheritance following the passing of his father. The certification of the House District 34 race last week has put Jonathan Christ Tompkins in the legislature and ended the service of Bill Thomas, who, along with Senator Albert Kukesh, was one of two Alaska Native representatives in Southeast. But the election is also a turning point for another demographic, youth. Christ Tompkins is only 23 years old and almost the youngest person ever elected to state government. KCAW's Robert Woolsey spoke recently with the person who holds that honor.
Terry Gardner was 22 when he was elected to represent Ketchikan in the legislature in 1972. Gardner had interned in both the Washington State Legislature and worked as an aide to Juneau Representative Mike Miller in Alaska. So he was already a familiar face in government when he won a seat in the Capitol, maybe a little too familiar, as he learned on the first day. He was standing in the doorway to the House, preparing to be sworn in.
And a senior legislator came along and was, you know, been around many terms and was going into the chamber and assumed that I, this young person standing there, was one of the pages. And so she handed me this big pile of stuff and said, "Here, do X, Y, and Z," you know, a typical task that pages would be asked to do. And so I just said, "Okay."
Gardner was not quite ready to burst this particular legislator's bubble. He finally did when a few minutes later she reminded him that pages were not permitted to sit in the legislator's chairs. After that initial misunderstanding, Gardner says his job was the same as any freshman legislator's, regardless of age.
I think it's a matter of just demonstrating that, you know, you are serious, that you're willing to do your homework, that you're willing to listen to the senior members and learn from them, which you definitely need to do. That's how you learn. You can't learn it all by, you know, reading the rule books. You do have to learn from the personal politics and get to know people, and that all takes time.
Gardner says he got in touch with Christ Tompkins through a mutual acquaintance late in the campaign and offered what advice he could. Gardner, maybe better than anyone, understands what Christ Tompkins is up against.
I was in the minority for my first term, so faced a similar situation that Jonathan will be a freshman, be young, and be in the minority. That's theoretically about as low on the totem as you can be.
Gardner received a committee chairmanship in his second term and eventually became speaker in 1978 at age 28. Pipeline politics, the permanent fund, and nonprofit hatcheries were all high-profile issues in his era. Gardner says he welcomed the input of lobbyists, at least those he trusted, whom he considered subject area experts. A lot of being in the legislature is sorting wheat from chaff because, Gardner says, the job never ends.
As a legislator, you don't have a huge staff, but you have an endless workload. You have all these constituents and groups and communities that need staff. And you need help.
Like Christ Tompkins, Gardner was just shy of graduating from college when he was elected. He was studying political science and history at Western Washington University and planned to use his experience running for the legislature as the basis of his senior thesis. Instead, he won, served 10 years, and then founded Silver Lining Seafoods. He doesn't miss that degree.
My time in the legislature, it was the best college education that one could ever hope for, because you are exposed to so many issues, you have to learn about so many issues, and there's all these experts there at your fingertips willing to give you information and opinions, and you hear both sides of an issue. You know, no one could ever have a more educational time than to be a member of the legislature.
Gardner was about 22 years and 5 months old when he took office in January 1973. He holds the honor of Alaska's youngest legislator by just a couple of months over former representative and later state senator John Sackett, who took office in 1967 at the age of 22 years, 7 months. Sackett, however, was the youngest person ever elected president of the Tanana Chiefs Conference at age 21. Jonathan Christ Tompkins is a relative oldster. He'll be about 3 weeks shy of his 24th birthday when he takes office on January 15th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The American Red Cross of Alaska has hired a new chief executive officer. Tongi Lebrecht is moving to the organization from the Sheraton Anchorage Hotel, where he was director of sales and marketing. The Red Cross says that Lebrecht has served on boards or committees for the Boys and Girls Clubs, Anchorage Sister Cities Commission, Anchorage Youth Symphony, and Anchorage Mayor's Ball. He replaces Michelle Houlihan, who moved to Denver for a national fundraising position with the American Red Cross. And the holiday open house at the Governor's House is this afternoon. Governor Sean Parnell and First Lady Sandy Parnell will be on hand to host the event. More than 24,000 cookies and 200 pounds of fudge have been prepared for the annual tradition, which is scheduled to run from 3 to 6 o'clock this afternoon. Members of the Governor's Cabinet will also serve hot cider and other holiday treats to the public.